This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Porcello, Tony Gwynn Jr. is down at Petco Park. We know that. He'll be back with us for the Big Five, which comes up here in just a little bit. And Matt Scraby is alongside here celebrating the greatness of Rory McIlroy. He's not great, but that Masters was great. There's no question. I can't argue that. It was a really exciting finish.
Like it or not, he now goes down as one of the best golfers to ever live.
He's got to. There's only six guys that have done what he's done, and the other five are pretty good. It's not like throwing, you know, the odd crazy thing in baseball, like somebody pitches a perfect game and you say, well, that must make him one of the best. Not really.
No, just
because anybody can, you know, weird people throw perfect games.
Yeah.
Not weird people win all four majors.
No.
Tiger, Jack, Hogan, Gene Sarazen might be the only one you have to say both names, and Gary Player, and now Rory. That's it. So, yeah, you got to put him on the list, Scrabe.
I'm happy for the guy. Now he gets all the questions are gone. When are you going to win the Masters? When are you going to complete the great career Grand Slam? When's your next major win?
And not that he's bitter, but the first thing he said in the press room yesterday was, oh, so what are you guys going to ask me next year?
I would say the same thing.
Because every year he gets asked about winning the Masters, so he just like said, well, now what are you going to do, huh?
I would say the same thing.
Come on, Rory.
Nah, I would say the same thing.
You might. But you're asking, do I think he's a great person? And I don't think he is. And then you're trying to compare him to you. So that's not exactly a compliment for him.
A ringing endorsement.
A ringing endorsement. All right. Chance for you to qualify now for a grand prize. And that is two tickets to see either Disturbed, to see Ghost, or to see Pantera. Three great music groups in Las Vegas. You'll also get a two-night stay at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas and a $150 gift card to boot. Get tickets for all three shows now at Ticketmaster.com or just win Chris versus the Fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself,
howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. The rules for today, you have to make it through three questions. Each question gets more difficult as you go along. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. And if you are a first-time player, let us know before you get into it, and you'll get that question for free today. Also, Chris, you will win. If you win this, you'll get qualified for Las Vegas. I put this in late because they emailed me.
Okay.
But you're going to win a pair of tickets to Warren Haynes Band at Humphrey's Concert by the Bay on May 14th. And you could win the grand prize, a Warren Haynes Band premium fan package, including access to the pre-show sound check. Tickets and premium fan packages are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Okay.
Now, That was tough for me for some reason.
No, you
sure.
got through it.
All right. Here we go.
Let's play ball. Did you give the rules?
I
didn't say the first time player.
Yes, you did.
Did I say it?
Yes, you did.
I was so engrossed in what I'm doing here that I didn't even know I said it.
What are you doing there?
I'm trying to find out the record for most consecutive shutouts.
Against a team or for a team?
No, by a team. Padres have done three in a row.
Okay.
So I'm trying to see how many, you know, four in a row sounds like a lot.
That does sound like a lot.
Apparently the record is six in a row.
Ooh, who's that?
The Pirates.
The Pirates?
122 years ago. So
of course.
It doesn't really seem like it's that, you know,
yeah, it's,
relevant.
It's not, but that's six is a lot. I don't know that they can get to six.
I don't know that they can either.
All right, let's get to our first contestant. We're going to go to Kevin in Oceanside. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Long time.
Good to talk to you, Kevin.
You ready to play?
Absolutely. Go ahead, Scrappy.
All right. Question number one. Let's start with this one. What number is Xander Bogaerts?
Number nine.
Unfortunately not, Kevin.
Number two. Sorry about that, Kev.
Sorry.
Yeah, some people are really good at numbers. Some people don't really look at the numbers at all.
It would have taken me...
It's interesting.
It would have taken me 45 seconds to figure that one out. I don't look at the numbers.
Nah, you're one of those who doesn't. I kind of know, like, I'm totally a number guy. Like, I picture a guy and I go, ah, he was number 12, yeah, or 13.
Anyway. All right, let's go to our next contestant. Let's go to Joseph. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, Joseph.
All right.
No, no Joseph.
Let's go to Spencer. Hello, Spencer.
Hey, Spencer.
Hello, sir.
Hello. Are you ready to play?
I am ready to play.
All right, here we go.
First time caller.
First time player, holla for the player.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, here we go.
All right, take it easy on me, Chris. I know you know everything. Take it easy on me, please.
I
appreciate you thinking I know everything. My wife does not agree with you, by the way.
I can attest to that. All right, here we go. Question number two. Out of all the majors that Tiger won, which major did he win the most?
Which one did he win the most? Okay. He won 18.
Yes, he 15.
I'm sorry, 15. Jack won 18.
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably Torrey Pines because he owned Torrey Pines.
Major. Not golf course. Masters.
He
good,
got it.
Good
ding,
answer.
Ding, ding. Very
answer.
Good. Yeah, he won that one five times, right?
Yes, great. Five times.
Yeah, Jack had six, and Rory's got one.
So yes, he go. Does.
Okay, very good. Question you're on to the final here, Spence.
Number.
There we go.
Sorry, I called you Spence because I have a friend of mine who has a son named Spencer who we call Spence.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I did that.
All right, this one is difficult, but this is question number three. Who is the only player who has appeared in a World Series game at both Wrigley Field and Comiskey Park in Chicago? Only player who has appeared in a World Series game at both Wrigley and Comiskey Park in Chicago.
Oh, Jesus Christo.
Are you kidding me, Scrape, with this one?
Yeah, what? Comiskey Park, Wrigley.
Only...
Yeah, we got
can't
it.
Can't say anything, and I hope...
Be careful, be careful.
Chris doesn't know this one.
Okay.
I don't know.
All
yeah,
right, stay there.
You got to... I mean, look, I doubt it's recent. I mean, the White Sox were in the World Series last time, I think, was 2004. Cubs got in 2016. So it could be somebody in this neighborhood of time, or it could be somebody back in the 30s when the Cubs made the World Series, and I don't know if the White Sox made it. I'm going to say it's in this... band of time, but I'm not going to be able to think of the player. And they could have been even for another team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't even have a smart guess. Albert Bell. I don't have a smart guess.
Spencer, you are the winner.
Hey, Spencer.
Stay right
first
there.
Time, first time, time winner.
First time winner.
Good job, Spencer.
You...
Was it in this?
No.
Oh, it wasn't. It was back in the day.
It was the Babe.
Babe Ruth.
I have no idea how, because he played for East Coast teams.
Well, here's the weird thing. Okay, now Babe did play at Wrigley with the Yankees, but how did he play in the World Series against the White Sox?
Was he with the Boston Braves at any point?
He was, but for like 2 minutes.
Let me see.
That's a weird one.
I got this from a legitimate website.
All right, well, we'll see if it is legitimate or not.
Spencer, stay there.
Well, you've won, Spencer. We're just going to do what we do often on Scraby's Questions. We're going to find out if it's authentic or not. See, Babe Ruth played only in the American League until the last year of his career. He played with the Boston Braves, 1935.
But he started with the Red Sox, that's right.
Yeah. Did the Boston Braves make the World Series in 1935? I doubt it. I don't recall.
No, their record was 38-115.
So they certainly didn't make it. So when would he have played at Comiskey Park in the World Series is the question.
Was there ever a time when, like, there was something that happened and they had to move the game?
That could have been it. That's the only thing I can think of, is that he played against the Cubs, and then there was some World Series where the Yankees were forced to play at Comiskey Park because the Yankees would never play the White Sox in the World Series. That just wouldn't happen.
Yeah. I'm trying to find out.
So, you know, this is about the 93rd time that there's been some sort of question controversy.
Okay, well, I don't think that this is a controversy.
Well, I think it is for sure.
You can't prove that it's false.
I kind of can.
No, you can't.
The Yankees nor the Red Sox could play the White Sox in the World Series. So the only way time it makes sense is the year he played for the Braves, last year of his career, and they didn't make the World Series. So who would he have played for in Comiskey Park in a World Series game?
The only reason I'm going to his postseason batting stuff, because I got to figure this out.
Well, I'll give you some time. Spencer, stay on the line. You've won. Scraby, as usual, has lost.
Whoa. We don't know that yet.
We're pretty sure. We're pretty sure that this is a crazy one.
Wait.
He hit a home run in the All-Star game, which was at Comiskey Park. I remember that. It was the first ever hit.
Okay, so that was the Cubs. He played in a World Series game. Now I'm looking through
He certainly played in Wrigley Field against the Cubs, because Wrigley Field is where he had the famous called home run shot. So he certainly played there.
So he played the Cubs twice. Did they have to move to Comiskey Park? Because they didn't have a stadium or something?
When was the other Yankee matchup against the Cubs?
That was in 1932.
No, that was the first one. Or that was the one he played in Wrigley Field. When was the other matchup?
The other one was in 1918.
There you go. Maybe Wrigley wasn't ready yet.
Let me click on the actual thing.
He was with the Red Sox in 1918.
There it is. Comiskey Park, 1918.
Ooh. The Cubs played it, or the White Sox?
The Cubs played at Comiskey Park.
Well,
it
you're
says
right.
Comiskey Park won.
You're right, Scraby, but that's still a
good question.
Controversial question.
It's not controversial at all.
All right, well, Spencer doesn't care. He has a chance to go to Las Vegas. We wish you the best on that. Stay online, Spencer. We'll check traffic when we come back. The NBA playoff matchups are set. Scraby isn't aware of it, but
no.
We'll clue you in. The Lakers, I think, have a very intriguing first-round matchup, and we'll check on that and more. Gwen and Chris on the way.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
1918 World Series between the Boston Red Sox, Babe Ruth was there, and the Chicago Cubs was indeed played at Comiskey Park. Cubs played their home games that year in Wegman Field, but they didn't have the seating capacity that Comiskey Park had, so they moved it over for the World Series. Wegman Park, actually, was renamed, easy for you to say, was renamed Wrigley Field in 1925. So it was built. It just wasn't Wrigley Field yet, and it wasn't big enough. So very good. You got that one, Scrabe, and Spencer won the trivia today.
The reason I knew it was Ray is because it came directly from
you
the
got
Hall
it from
website.
Somewhere you felt good about.
The Hall of Fame website can't go wrong.
Here's an injury list note that will surprise absolutely no one. It's starting, though, to get honestly a bit sad because Chris Bryant does have ties here to this community.
Yeah,
he played
at
USD and was a college player of the year. I'm starting to wonder about his career overall now.
What happened?
The Rockies put him on the injured list today due to what they're calling a degenerative disc disease. That's something in your back. And that doesn't get better. Degenerative means it just gets worse. It's breaking down. He's going to get all that money from the Rockies, but I don't think they're ever going to get anything from him. This guy's a former Rookie of the Year. He's a former NL MVP. He's a College Baseball Player of the Year at USD. It's a sad, it looks like it's finishing up. I'm not saying his career's over today, but this is not good.
It's not easy to come back from stuff like that.
No, and he's already been missing time, yeah. So anyway, the Rockies who, don't need any more bad news, just got some anyway.
You know, my dad has terrible back problems and has for years.
When it gets degenerative and the disc,
you can't,
those two words together,
you can't do anything about it, really.
You're not coming back.
You're definitely, if you might be able to have a good life, like quality of life, but you're definitely not playing Major League Baseball.
Yeah. And you know what? We've made fun of Chris Bryant because he's on the injured list all the time. But now I'm kind of getting to where I feel a little bad for the guy. This is too bad.
Yeah, you don't want
something having
to go
a career
out like
that. Like he's had, and it's going to end up like this. Cubs, speaking of Chris Bryant, they used to be there. They smartly let him go, and their lineup is out for tonight. The only note of interest to anybody out there might be the fact that Seiya Suzuki remains out of the Cub lineup with a day-to-day wrist injury.
I don't hate that.
That's the bad news, or the good news. Bad news, Justin Turner will take his place tonight at the DH spot, and we know what he normally does against the Padres. So, Dylan Cease, Jameson Taillon are the principals tonight.
The principals.
I don't like this Dylan Cease ERA that I'm looking at here.
It's pretty gross right now.
Right? 7.98. That has got to improve. And they still have a photo of him on MLB.com with the beard.
Well, that's the thing is that...
Beard's got to go.
He took his photos before the year with the beard, so it's going to be on him the entire year.
Yeah, the beard is gone, and I hope that that changes everything. NBA playoffs are set. I think there's, a lot of us have lost interest, and I don't think we're alone.
NBA. I'm not even kidding, Chris. I didn't know.
You didn't even know the season was over.
And that's not me being like an NBA
hater.
You
just didn't know.
I was so wrapped up in the Masters.
Well, but the NBA is, a lot of people are kind of not thrilled, and people are even more upset that the TNT thing is over, because a lot of people used to just watch Ernie Johnson and Charles and Shaq and love that. And they're worried that the NBA is going to be going streaming now. They're going to be pay-per-view. They're going to be all this stuff. And are people really going to be willing to fork over a little extra to see the NBA?
Not me.
I don't think I will either.
Really?
I don't think so. I'm not going to pay extra money to watch an NBA game. I'm not.
So we'll see. That shocks me because you and Tony are probably two of the bigger NBA fans that I know.
Yeah, but I'm not that big. I mean, unless the Bulls ever get back in contention, which may never happen. Quick note, Phoenix Suns fired their coach. Craig Elston was fired today. Sorry, Craig.
Chris has always compared Craig Elston to Mike Budenholzer.
Look at the two of them.
They're similar.
They look pretty close.
Yes.
Anyway, Budenholzer was fired today by Phoenix. They didn't make the playoffs, despite Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. That's pretty hard to do.
And Bradley Beal.
The matchups in the West, it's pretty good. Oklahoma City won it, 68 wins. They're the seventh NBA team ever to win that many. Four of the previous six have won the title. So we'll see if OKC can follow through now in the postseason. Most people think they won't because you've got the Lakers in there playing Minnesota in the first round. You got Golden State in the play-in tournament. You got Denver and the Clippers in a really good matchup. There's a lot of good teams in the West. In the East, I don't think it really matters who plays who. It's almost guaranteed to come down to Cleveland versus Boston. They're the top two in the East. Nobody really seems to be close to either of those teams. So I think anything other than that would be surprising. Oklahoma plus 180 opens as the favorite. Boston is plus 190. Then Cleveland. The Lakers are the fourth choice, which I think is a little high. But, you know, this Luka-LeBron thing has worked out pretty well overall.
I would say so.
The question remains defense, and especially interior defense. The Lakers didn't have it when they made the trade because they lost Anthony Davis, and they certainly don't have it now. And you've got to play some defense to win in the NBA playoffs. They're not going to give you wide-open looks all night long, and that's the big, you know, concern for the Lakers. I could see the Lakers making a run. I could see the Lakers losing to Minnesota in the first round. Minnesota's got Gobert, who does play defense and is in the middle to clog things up. And they got the Ant-Man, who can score with the best of them. Minnesota, though, is not as good as they were last year because they stupidly traded Karl-Anthony Towns and got Julius Randle, and it was a bad trade. So
there seems to be a lot of
I'll tell you the team that people are picking out of the West. People are picking not OKC, not the Lakers, not even Golden State. People are saying the Clippers are playing better than anyone right now. And I have to listen to them because I'm not watching enough games to know. But you know they've got Kawhi already. He's a two-time finals MVP. And they've got the beard.
This is not me hating on Kawhi, but can he stay healthy for an entire postseason?
He's healthy right now, and he's rested, right? Because he's been sitting out most of the season.
Load managing.
So a lot of people say the Clippers can get there. That's never happened before.
That would be fun, though.
It would be interesting. All right, so the NBA playoffs start tomorrow. We'll talk a little more about that at that time. Right now, a break in the action. And then Tony Gwynn Jr. returning with the Big Five.
Lots of Masters talk in this one.
Oh, yeah. As much as any team has ever dominated another team in a three-game series, don't know that you could win a series much more dominant than that. Rockies didn't get a man to third base. Got only four runners to second base. That's shutting them down.
During the game on Saturday night, you kept saying something that was just shocking to me every single time, which is no one else on the team except for Kyle Farmer has a hit.
He was 5-for-10 in the series, which is pretty good. The rest of the team was 3-for-78. I'm sorry, 4-for-78.
Oh.
But
well,
anyway,
four makes a big difference.
Does that make a big difference?
Yeah, I'm over it now.
He had five hits. The rest of the team had four. Padres pitching was all that, and then some. We'll see if Dylan Cease can follow up tonight against the Cubs. Sam Levitt pregame show coming up in an hour. This hour on 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by Frozen Rope, San Diego. Hey, parents, here's a message from Coach Kurt with Frozen Ropes. Is your child 6 to 12 years old? Okay, well, if they are, Baseball Summer League is the perfect fit for your player. Starting June 16th through August 17th, Summer League includes 8 practices, 8 games, Register by April 30th. Save $50. Go to SanDiegoFrozenRopes.com. Scrape, ready for the large Cinco?
Yes, the Grande Cinco.
The Grande Cinco,
El
Grande Cinco. Antonio is back for this segment. Let's go.
Oh, man.
Thought I set it up nicely.
No, you did. You really did. There we go.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, well, as we've been talking about all show, the Padres? Who are the Padres?
We haven't been talking about them.
Yeah, I don't know who the Padres are, but the Padres have been playing awesome so far to start the year, and I am enjoying all of the social media posts that are coming out, and that's for real, because it's nice to see the Padres getting their due.
Number five.
And MLB posted this earlier, and it goes like this. There are a few reasons the Padres have the best record in baseball. They're 10-0 at Petco Park so far this year, so home field advantage in their favor. Dominant pitching, their staff has thrown 6 shutouts in their first 16 games. Fernando's hitting .351 with a .994 OPS, 4 home runs, 9 RBIs, 6 stolen bases. And finally, the lowest bullpen ERA in Major League Baseball at 1.51. So, Chris, on that list, what is the most impressive to you?
6 shutouts is the most impressive to me. Also, those 6 shutouts have come in the 10 home games. So, they've only given up runs 4 times at home. You're not going to obviously lose. The bullpen has been lights out as well. I think it's interesting that Fernando's getting all of the credit for the offense. He's triggering a lot of it, but a lot of different guys are contributing. I mean, you look at Iglesias yesterday, and Hayward got a big knock, and Gurriel's not hit much, but when he has, it seems to, be a key hit. So everything's going beautifully right now, and but I think the most impressive thing is the shutouts. I think that's only happened once before in baseball with that many shutouts in that short of a time. And, I think you just you keep it going as long as you can. I mean, I don't know. It's not going to stay this good. If it does, you're going to win 130 games. So, let's just keep it riding.
Tony, what's the most impressive on this list to you?
Give me the list again outside of the shutouts.
10-0 at home. Fernando's performance so far this year, and then lowest bullpen ERA of 1.51.
I'll say the lowest bullpen in ERA because that has been done at home and on the road. That wasn't just if we're being honest, the Padres have pitched like Cy Young every night here at Petco. That was not the case in Chicago and in Oakland. And so the bullpen, though, has been solid from day one. And so the good thing is that when you got all three of those things working, you probably are doing pretty well. I think Toddy's getting a lot of the credit because right now he's the best offensive weapon we have. And it's no different than when Manny is riding, when we're riding Manny's coattail for, what was it, May through the rest of the season last year. He got the credit for it, and I think that's deservingly so. It's only been... We're not even a month into the season. So, I mean, it's nice for him to get the credit he deserves. But, the thing that Manny has done consistently throughout his career is he's been able to sustain it throughout the entire season. And he's done that every year. And I feel like a lot of people feel like for the first time, Toddy is in line to do something very similar, where he has that year that puts him in an MVP conversation. And when you're in that type of conversation, you're gonna get a lot of the credit. But for me, I think it's the bullpen. The bullpen is just I think we knew that if the starting rotation was healthy, that they would be really, really good. We also knew that the very back end of the bullpen was as good as it gets. And I think what's been impressive is it's been the pieces kind of in between that, the Wandy Peraltas, the Yuki Matsuis of the world, the Alec Jacob of the world have all pitched really well, and it's made it a really complete bullpen.
Just to back up on the how early in the season it is, along with my 130 win projection, they've played 16 games, right? So there's
feels like 75.
Yeah, well, 16 times 10 gets you to 160. So if you go 13-3 every time, you would win 130 games. So, yeah. You know, like
that,
I said,
that would be wild.
Yeah, let's just enjoy this and keep flying on it as long as we can.
So for me to start MVP chance like I did on Saturday night after Fernando's
home run. I don't
know.
They started MVP chance for Gavin Sheets, I think, the first time he got a hit. So nothing's too
true.
Early.
That is true.
Number four.
All right. Let's go to something from over the weekend that really, I thinking back on, maybe one of the best finishes to the Masters that I've ever seen or remember. Because Rory McIlroy became the sixth men's golfer to complete the career Grand Slam, and this Masters win puts him at 5 total for his career. We've talked about it on the show, but he's going to be 36th on May 4th of this year. So, Tony, put on your prediction hat. How many more majors will Rory McIlroy win?
One or two.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
I'm gonna say one.
Why do you hate him so much?
I don't hate him. There was a piece of me rooting against him so that I could come out here and give you a hard time. However, I don't hate Rory. I just think Rory has he can be thin-skinned at times, and I think sometimes he is like the billboard for like putting foot in mouth. Often it feels like, and I don't think he intentionally does it. I just think some of the things he says seem to come back to haunt him too often. And I'll say two from the standpoint that this could, you're talking about two more,
for
are you talking about after
career.
This one?
Yeah, after this one, how many
I'm
more?
I'm gonna say two. I'm gonna say that he's gonna ride this wave and maybe get one quickly, and then he'll get one more down the line.
Actually, kind of what I was thinking too. Although I said he was going to win 5 in my head. Chris, how many more majors do you think Rory wins in his career?
Well, first of all, I was going to take this time to criticize Rory McIlroy, but Tony did an excellent job of it for us.
Why do you got to criticize the guy who wins the Masters?
Not a fan. Not a fan. And I can give you a whole bunch of reasons, but I think Tony hit on all of them. So, but as far as how many more he'll win, you know, that's a pretty good call. Two more. Because it took him 11 years to win last one. So
I think that was a major hurdle in his head.
I mean, he's obviously got the talent. I mean, you watch this guy. I mean, he's doing, making shots that were just incredible yesterday. And so good that he was able to overcome his own nerves because he missed so many easy shots. And then came back and just hit some spectacular shot like it was, you know, a piece of cake. So I think he could get up to 8. You know, he's got 5. 8's about right for him. If he gets the double figures, I'd, you know, be impressed. But what he's accomplished, like him or not, which I don't, is, you know,
which I don't.
5 other guys have done it. I mean, that's, anytime you're in a category with only 5 other guys in the history of the sport, that's a pretty great achievement. So, you know, I have to give it to him today.
All right. We'll get back to the Masters in a second.
Number 3.
Because something that Chris really hates is going to be asked.
Okay.
We talked about Tennessee quarterback Nico Iamalieva and his contract dispute with the school. Well, Tennessee decided they would move on from him and announced that on Saturday. And now people are calling him at Tennessee, Nico, I'm a leaving. Some say this is a move that's going to help stabilize the transfer portal just a bit. Those saying this is a good thing argue players may be more careful when negotiating NIL deals or leaving in the transfer portal. Chris, is this a good or bad thing for college football that Tennessee gave him his walking papers?
Well, it's a great thing for Tennessee. Josh Heupel is my new favorite quarterback, or favorite coach in college football.
Former quarterback,
who I liked when he played at Oklahoma and actually won a national championship as the quarterback at Oklahoma. So, but this was a great move, and I love what he said afterwards, which was, you know, no one's bigger than the program. We're moving on. Wish them the best. But this is, you know, Tennessee's been here long before us, and it's going to be here long after us. And nobody's that big that they can control everything that we do. Here's the problem. It's only going to take one school out of 300, or maybe, I guess, 120 Division I schools. It's only going to take one school out of 120 that feels like giving him $3, $4 million to bring him in. And my best guess is this move will end up working out for him because he's in it to get as much money as he possibly can.
Some school will pay him that, probably.
That's right. So somebody's going to do it. So if you tell me whether this is good or bad for college football, I don't think it changes it that much, to be honest with you. I think it stays pretty much the same. But kudos for Tennessee. They'll get some points in the karma department from me. And whoever signs this guy will immediately become a team I root against. And I don't have to root for the – I know it's not going to be the Aztecs because I know they can't afford that. So.
I do love reading all the rumors as to what happened in the program. He didn't show up to NIL.
Nothing happened in the program. He's not getting enough money. He wants more money. Right. That's all it is.
We don't need to add the salaciousness. Yeah. That's probably fake anyway.
So, Tony, the question was, is this a good thing or bad thing for college football?
I 100% agree with everything Chris said. I think it's only going to take. I think these type of things right now, I know they are painful to watch, but part of me thinks we got to let it happen, right? We got to let kids do this. We got to let schools say no. We got to let the one school that Chris is talking about say yes and it not work in their favor so that they are hesitant to go. All of this is new to everybody. And it seems like because it was so new, there were new type of situations popping up that had never popped up before. And so I think, in essence, a lot of this stuff needs to happen. Like, it has to cycle itself through so that there is a parameter for the schools, right? Like, a coach getting fired because he took a chance on a $4 million quarterback that didn't work is going to be reluctant to do something like that. A school is going to be reluctant to do something like that. If indeed they got egg on their face when it's all said and done. And so we can't get to that point unless schools are willing to take the risk, go out, bump their head, and be like, you know, that wasn't really worth the $4 million that we coughed up to get that guy.
So the Browns of college. You need to find the Browns of college.
I'm just rooting for him to go to a school that I already don't like, so it'll be easy for me to make the transition.
Yeah, I agree with Chris said.
All right. I do like Nico, I'm a leaving. I'm going to use that.
Not bad. Not bad. Number
two. All right. I put these questions where Tony answers first so that Chris doesn't steal the just never mind. Speaking of the Masters, one of the stories.
Take a shot there.
I know, and it failed miserably. That's just me in a nutshell right there. Me trying to take a shot and then getting it kicked back in my face. One of the stories that came out of yesterday was post-round when reporters asked Bryson DeChambeau how the on-course interactions were with Rory McIlroy, and DeChambeau said that Rory did not say one word to him the entire round. Many opinions are out there, as you know, but
of course.
But Tony, do you have any issue with Rory not saying a word to Bryson DeChambeau on Sunday?
I remember not that long ago, a guy named Tiger Woods used be berated for how his demeanor was when he was going in the last round, and I remember guys complaining. He doesn't say anything. He kind of like just
gets in their head.
Maybe so. You know, listen, I'm not mad at. In the last round, the two pair, not being all chummy. Like, I'm trying to beat you. I don't want to have to be, like, carrying on a conversation about my shot, your shot, my family, your family. Like, I want to beat you. For now, I need to look at you as an adversary.
Yeah.
Not like I don't like you, but I just want to beat you. And I'm okay with him not being all chummy during a final round in which he's trying to win, like, one of the biggest events that there is in golf.
The biggest tournament of his life.
And I thought, you know, it's so typical of the meathead to, like, point it out, too. Like, he wasn't talking to me. He didn't say one word. Like, come on, man. This wouldn't even be a story if Bryson said, we didn't really speak much. We didn't really speak at all, actually. You know, we're competing against each other. Would have been a non-story. But because of the way he said it, he didn't speak to me at all. He didn't say one word. Now, you know, we get these, we have to talk about it the next day.
Obviously, it got in Bryson's head because Bryson had a pretty terrible day. Bryson also said that the Sunday Augusta Greens snuck up on him. I'm not sure how that happens.
Yeah, you know what? Bryson is borderline Rory-ish too with some of the comments he says that end up coming back, and it's like you just sound like you're whining about the course that you got beat on.
It was interesting because I think the other players were putting on the same greens as Bryson was, wasn't he? Or
yes,
did they go to separate greens didn't notice?
Sunday Augusta greens snuck up on him, which everybody knows one thing about Augusta is the greens on Sunday are diabolical.
Somebody who won the tournament before should know that.
Yeah. He hasn't won that tournament before.
Oh, he hasn't won that one.
No, he hasn't won it yet.
Thought he had.
Chris, do you think about Rory McIlroy talking to Bryson DeChambeau?
I love it. Honestly, I do. We know I'm not a Rory McIlroy fan. I said it earlier. But I hate. See, you think I hate that he didn't talk to him. What I hate is all the fraternization that goes on in sports these days. I would like my athletes to be more like Bob Gibson, who hated to even sit in the National League locker room during an All-Star game.
That is kind of fun.
Because those are guys he was trying to get out during the season. Even if I was best friends with Tony and we were playing with different teams, I would honestly try to wait till well after the game before I said hello. It's just my way. I don't think Rory owes him anything. And I don't think I would be expecting somebody to talk to me for the Masters title. I do. Part of what makes golf not as good as it could be is that there's no dislike out there. Right. There's no villains. We're making some villains now. Mm-hmm. Guys are kind of making themselves. But to make something a great event, you got to have a hero and a villain.
Yep.
And you have to have some. You have to know that there's competition between these two sides. We don't see that in golf very much. Guys are pretty happy with each other most of the time. But I think this is great. This is how it should be. So this is, I'll give Rory a thumbs up.
Hey, real quick, are you guys peeping my camera doing
yeah,
this?
Yeah, what is going on? Did you get a new camera?
I got a new computer, but it's like framing us back and bringing us, that's kind of on its own. I'm not touching it.
No, it's definitely AI. No, it's not me. It's your camera following you around.
I think it catches Dave's face back there, and it's like, let me pull back and see my man back there.
Maybe when you lean back, it shoots forward.
Let's see.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's crazy.
I just thought I had a bad reaction to the lunch I ate looking up there. But
you were spinning?
Yeah, it was a little odd.
Oh, I think there's a little bit back to the golf thing. LIV and PGA Tour. Rory's life has been a living hell for years, and Bryson's life has been kind of okay for years.
I will say this about Rory that I like. He seems like he's the main one holding on to this like PGA LIV divide. Like he has picked a side and he is staying on that side.
I love it.
Now, I'll give
Team Rory.
I'll give him thumbs up for all of those things. His personality needs a lot of work though.
Yeah, it does.
Sorry. On we go.
Man.
So number one,
from the highs of highs to the lows of lows.
I gave him credit for not talking to the guy. I was
that shot on 15, though. I think
one
shows
of the
all the personality that we need. That was one of the best shots I've ever seen.
It was good.
Number one.
All right. Less than an hour after Saturday's shutout loss to the Detroit Tigers, the Minnesota Twins, they fell to 4-11, and they demoted struggling third baseman Jose Miranda to AAA St. Paul. Miranda was already hitting 167. He had 13 Ks, no walks in 12 games.
I saw this. Yeah.
But he has he did something on Saturday that maybe forced their hand. Here is the play, Chris. And you could watch it on your screen, but basically what happens is there's a ground ball to the first baseman. Miranda's going to second, slides in. The defender never touches the base. Umpire calls him safe. Miranda gets up, runs back towards the dugout. Tigers tag him. He is out.
Yeah.
So basically, he just got up and left the base thinking that he was out. So my question here is this. It's not about did they do it because of this? Did they send him down? My question is this, Chris. On a scale of 1 to 10, how embarrassing is this for a baseball player?
Yeah, it was a five. I mean, it was confusion. First of all, you know, the fielder came over, you're right, caught the throw at second base, but did not step on the base. Also, which I don't think we can see from the angle there, Miranda never got to the base on his slide.
He didn't.
So he never touched it even in the first place. But he just thought he was going to be out. So it, to me, it was a reaction that he had that I think most guys would normally have. So it's a four or a five. But as far as him being demoted for struggling, in a related story that you may not have seen, late last night, the Colorado Rockies demoted their entire squad to AAA because all of them have similar batting averages.
Farmer?
Except Farmer. He's the only one.
Colorado Farmers.
Yeah, Farmer can stay. That's
Colorado Farmers.
They're all going down on the farm.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was a good one, Chris. That was really good. Tony, on a scale of 1 to 10, how embarrassing is this for a professional baseball player?
Nine.
Ooh. Nine. Wow, way up there. Okay.
How hard is it to just slide into the base?
Right. That was the weird thing.
I understand him getting down because he might be concerned the throw is going to take his top off, but get to the bag. Touch the bag. Watch the umpire. Or better yet,
he's
how about
looking
this?
At the umpire.
How about
kinda.
This? Watch his feet.
Yeah.
It was literally right in front of him.
Well, you know, the umpire got the call wrong in the first place because he signaled him safe even though he never got to the bag. Honestly, the umpire shouldn't have made any designation at all, really.
And maybe that's his one excuse, is that he was listening to the umpire, who should have gave no call,
right?
Because no one touched anything. The second baseman didn't touch the base. The runner didn't touch the base. So it should have been no call.
Right.
But he gave safe. So I'll drop it down to a seven because he may have been looking at the umpire. However, just on your own, why aren't you looking to see if he's touching the bag? Like, if there's even an inkling that he didn't touch it, I'm just going to touch it just because at that point.
Yeah.
And clearly he wasn't paying attention. And I think that speaks to that 4-11 start they have. He's struggling. You keep making these kind of mental lapses. Forget the physical ones. That's going to, on a team that's already struggling. That's could cost you.
You're going to be an example at that point. All right, that's it for the Big Five. You know, the grit squad here in San Diego doesn't make mistakes like that. They run through every base.
I want to say that they don't, but just in case sometime in July somebody makes a goofy play, I don't want to.
Don't make these outright statements like this. What do we got to learn about this? This is baseball.
As of right now, the Grit Squad Padres are running through every base.
Better.
There you go.
I hate the baseball season. It works against my exact nature just because it's so long.
Make grand announcements.
All right. That's it for the Big Five. When we get back, Chris and I are going to get you set up for this game tonight. Also, a Scraby segment. Chris is just shaking his head.
Probably
going to
be
so
talking about how great Rory is for 20 minutes.
How did you know? That's all when we get back on 97.3 The Fan.